The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Ladies and gentlemen, after five rounds, we go to the judges' scorecards for a decision. The judges score the contest 49-46, 49-46, and 48-47 for the winner. And still, the undisputed UFC heavyweight champion of the world, Stipe Miocic.
I don't imagine there's going to be a title in the future, so that'll be it for me. You know, I've had a long run. It's been great. I mean, I just fought my last fight for a heavyweight championship, and it was a pretty good fight. So
it was a great fight. It was a great fight. You've been a great champion, and you will without a doubt go down in history as one of the greatest combat sports athletes of all time.
Joe, I appreciate it, brother. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir.
You guys have a great
night. We appreciate you, brother.
Thank you.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yes, we do. And boy, there's a lot of sports going on to talk about. Hey, man, let's have some fun today. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And how about you get on Twitch, watch us there, or listen to us there. It's twitch.tv/ESPN975. Well, I hope you're listening. And you can comment there, and you guys carry on quite the good conversations on your own. So you can certainly do that. It's a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome, awesome weekend. And let's have some fun today. What's going on, man?
Sports and stuff. What's going on with you, Freddie boy?
A lot of both.
All right,
watching
all right.
A lot of sports, but also a damn productive day for me. So a busy day, but productive.
Okay.
Working on Project X.
Project X.
Yeah.
X going to give it to you. First we going to rock, then we going to roll. You don't know the rest of that one?
I don't know the rest. I've heard it, but I don't.
You know why you've heard it?
Because it's from Deadpool.
Deadpool the movie, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know who that great American poet is?
No, I do not. I know you've told me this before, but I can't remember things.
Dark Man X.
Okay, that's a cool name.
Often referred to as just DMX.
Ah, okay. That I've heard of. What'd you guys get into this weekend?
Went to Six Flags over Texas. No, I didn't. I went to Six Flags Fiesta, Texas.
Ah.
Which, by the way, you know, when we were kids, well, not when you were a kid, Fred. When Aaron and I were kids, Six Flags Fiesta, Texas, they, outside of Six Flags, they flew the Six Flags over Texas.
They did that when I was young, too.
Not just, now they just fly six American flags outside of Six Flags.
Huh.
I mean, I guess it's super patriotic, but I it was kind of, and I was looking forward, this is my kid's first time going to Six Flags.
Right.
I was looking forward to giving him the history lesson of the Six Flags over Texas, and all it was six American flags. And he knows that, he pretty well knows the history of America.
But all was
they made that change, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Hmm. Was it offensive to someone, I take it?
Yeah, one of those flags, they didn't really like being out there, so a bunch of people had said, you need to take that flag down. They're like, well, then it's only five flags. So, you know, we'll just take them all down.
Was it the Mexican flag that people didn't like?
Actually, I think it was the French flag.
Okay.
People were offended by croissants and
what's wrong with the Frenchies?
Canadians.
There's plenty wrong with them, and I think we all know that. But
s'il vous plaît. That's all a French
idea. Now, the flag that
Pepe Le Pew, I know that one too.
And what Aaron means is one of the six flags that flew over the great state of Texas was the flag of the Confederate States of America.
Ah.
But I will say that this it was not the stars and bars. It was not the heritage, not hate flag. It was the one with like the red stripe, white stripe. It basically looked like the American flag, just with three stripes and then a circle of stars. And I get that it's I don't know if it has the same effect on people that the Confederate flag, the traditional Confederate flag has. But I guess some people are offended by that, even though, I mean, the purpose of the six flags over Texas is to show that Texas is the only state that has been governed by six different, I don't know what you want to call them, nations, really. So, I mean, they're six nations that have claim sovereignty over Texas at some point or another, including the Texas flag when Texas was its own country. Or, well, the Republic of Texas, as we called it.
I'd like for us to be our own country again, AJ.
I'm not opposed to it, totally, to be honest. Although, I don't know if that'd be a good thing these days. But we did go to Six Flags. We did many, many roller coasters. The park was borderline empty. The park was at about, I would say, 20 to 25% of what it normally is. So you would think, and I shouldn't complain too much. The lines were really short.
That's good.
Everyone wore a mask. Everyone wore a mask the entire time they were there. Everyone wears a mask on the actual rides. Like, while you're riding roller coasters, you have to have a mask on.
That makes sense.
I imagine their picture sales, the pictures they take of you on the roller coaster where your hands are up and you're going, yay! They're not as marketable right now while people are wearing masks. So that I would guess that roller coaster picture sales are down because of masks. But everyone was wearing them. And the only downside is, you know, the lines are short because there's fewer people there. They are putting far fewer people on the rides at once. They're not packing those rides down. So it's like you get the first ride we rode on was this ride called Goliath. It's the one that's right when you first walk in the park. It's the first one you see. And it normally holds 28 riders. There's seven rows of four people.
Right.
They were going front row full, skip two rows, fill a row, skip two rows, fill a row. So they were running 12 people at a time. So it instead of 28. So it's slowed down a bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the most part, it was good. We got to ride a bunch of stuff. My kids had never ridden roller coasters. My younger son, you know how kids are, about 6 months before their birthday, they decide what they want to do for their birthday.
Right.
So Holden, back in like December or January, decided, I want to ride a roller coaster. And we said, okay, well, we'll go for your birthday. Little did we know, his birthday's in May. Little did we know that the entire world would be shut down on May 1st. So there was no roller coasters to be had then. But it was nice. You make a reservation. So like you have to get on the list, and if you like, you can't just go up to the park and say, hey, I want to go to the park today and go on in. You can't. But we were able to do that, and then hung out with my brothers. We smoked some beef ribs that were delicious.
Nice.
And we watched the Ultimate Fighting Championship Part 252. And yeah, that's about it for the weekend.
Yeah, I didn't do much of anything except well, yesterday I spent some time calling my family because it was my grandmother's 97th birthday. It's also my youngest brother's birthday. They share the same one. So I talked to them a little bit and talked to my mom, who is now cancer-free after months of radiation and chemo. So did all that. And then also my daughter goes off to school today, headed to Pennsylvania. So little bittersweet, but, you know, happy that, well, she won't get to go watch football.
That's right. Sure.
But yeah, that was about it. Didn't do much. You know, had, drank a little and just enjoyed life. Watched some sport. Watched a lot of sport. Although I did miss my first hockey bet in a week.
Oh,
I bet the over on the Hawks Knights last night. They scored 3 goals in the first period. I'm like, oh, this is easy money. And no one ever scores again. So it's like, okay, thanks.
It's but
I also got the luckiest over ever on Saturday in that Arizona-Colorado game. And if anybody watched it, it was like the over was 5, and it's 2-1 late in the game. And then they score an empty netter. It's 3-1. Then in the last minute and 38, they wind up with 6 goals, basically. So 7 goal total. So I hit the over either way, but it was ridiculous. So I finally missed one, but that's all right. I'm on a roll.
Did you watch any playoff basketball today?
I watched a little bit. Yeah, today I didn't really have time to watch TV.
If a man scores 57 points in a sports match and they lose by 10, is that bad?
Yeah, it's not good.
Okay, just making sure. It seems like. It's going to be tough for him to score 57 every game. Donovan Mitchell, who had one of the better in-game dunks that you'll see. Very, very fun and impressive, but they still end up losing by 10 in overtime in game one to the Nugs. And currently, not much of a game going on. I think that someone failed to tell the Brooklyn Nets that the playoffs were starting. And it's not going their way. Let's just put it that way. 71-46, almost halftime, and you're only down 25. So
plenty of time to go.
Right. Then you know what they say: when you're down 25, you're a 26-0 run away from taking the lead.
Exactly.
And that's where they are right now. I mean, just one 26-0 run, and you're right back in it.
All right, let's take a quick break. And Aaron, can you not turn on the Twitch for the first few minutes here? I need to actually.
Fred needs to say he needs to talk hate speech for a minute.
No, I need to talk business with AJ for a minute. But it'll only be a minute, and then we'll turn it on. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, you want to know where to get the greatest basketball hoop of all time? I'll tell you where. ProDunkHoops.com. That's where you go. That's where you get the best goal. And these goals are manufactured exclusively by Hoop Sporting Equipment, and they are the best. They're the thickest steel of any goal on the market. 75% thicker than the best brands that you'll find in the big box stores. They've got a tempered glass backboard that's so strong, if it breaks or cracks for any reason, they'll replace it free of charge. How about that? It's got a rust armor finish so it can handle the Gulf Coast weather, and it's got a design to fit your home, your driveway, your backyard. They've even got a fully portable version, and every one of those goals adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet. So no matter what age, your kids can play. Or if you want to go out there and give them some daddy ball, you can do that as well. Get your new hoops goal today. See it all at ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com, or give them a call 281-351-9822 for ProDunk Hoops.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. So what'd you think of the fights? I didn't get to get your opinion there in the first segment.
Shout out Daniel Pineda, H-Town's own Daniel Pineda. Successful return to the UFC. Been out of the UFC for 6 years. Comes in on short notice. They put him in there with Herbert Burns, who's a hot shot prospect. And Daniel just whooped that ass.
Nice.
So he's back in the UFC, at least, you know, for a little while. But really, really good showing by him. And it wasn't really a close fight. He beat the piss out of him. So really happy for Daniel, who's a good dude. And honestly, should have been in the UFC this entire time. Has a new baby. And literally every fight that he's ever won, he's finished his opponent. 100% finishing rate.
Nice.
And that's it. And he's in, I forgot what exactly his record is, but it's not a small number of victories for Daniel. So it just really good to see him back in the fold and really putting on a good performance. 27 wins now, 27 finishes.
Nice.
And really, he's finished 29 guys, but they overturned two of them to no contest because I think he failed a weed test, which is so lame. Either way, Daniel wins, and the Cormier, well, Sean O'Malley loses, which pretty bad way to go out for your first loss. Not exactly ideal, but I've been saying that this guy, they were pushing him, and everybody wanted him to be a big star. They'd been giving him opponents that were basically handpicked for him to beat up, and they put him in there with a tough dude, and Sean hurts himself, ends up losing, and the excuses come out for him. Daniel Cormier gets beat by Stipe, and it wasn't a controversial decision. I mean, Stipe beat him this time. He was just the better man. They go five rounds, and Stipe just outgunned him. Daniel came out in the first round and really controlled him, although one judge gave Stipe the first round. I'm not sure how. But Daniel just looked a little bit old. I don't want to say he didn't look sharp. He landed some good shots and he rocked Stipe a couple times. Stipe is just, the real difference is Stipe is a real heavyweight and Daniel Cormier is not.
Yeah.
Daniel Cormier is a guy who doesn't want to cut weight, so he fights at heavyweight and he's a really tough dude and he can beat up most heavyweights. Stipe's just he's on a different level. I don't think Stipe has a better skill set than Daniel. I don't think he's really even a better fighter. I just think that pound for pound, Daniel's sort of outgunned there. And this is a dude who his entire competitive wrestling career, which I mean includes Olympics, and he wrestled at 184 pounds, and now he's trying to fight the biggest guys in mixed martial arts. The fact that he can beat any of them, and if not almost all of them, and he did beat Stipe once, is really impressive. It's just hard to live at that. So, Stipe just outlasts him, and one of the nastiest eye pokes that the ref somehow didn't see, but Stipe touched the back of Daniel's skull through his eye socket, and I think he's got a torn cornea. But it looks like that's the end of the road for Daniel Cormier, who's a lot of people were saying that fight was to decide who the best heavyweight in MMA history is. I think you could maybe say that it's the best in UFC history, but Prime Fedor smashes both of those guys, I'm convinced. Just a lot of people don't remember Prime Fedor. They weren't fans of the sport,
right?
When Fedor was fighting in Pride. That dude, and they're just like, oh, well, his level of competition.
Pride was badass,
better than the UFC in those days. It was a better product. But kudos to Stipe, who's now, I mean, he's the man. He's the guy. And Daniel probably wrapping it up for a career. So, it was good card.
If Daniel's done, where does this put Derek in terms of the pecking order?
I mean, he's in the top five, and the one guy that I would say he basically had no chance of beating was Daniel Cormier.
Right.
Cormier's skill set is just, it's too much of a problem.
Plus, it was a short turnaround for him.
A full camp. Yeah. I mean, Derek, the hope for Derek if he fought Daniel would be to land that one big shot, which he can do it on anybody. But Daniel is one guy who can take Derek down at will and hold him down. And there's just not a lot of guys who are physically capable of doing that. Could Stipe get Derek down? Sure. I don't know if Stipe could hold Derek down. I don't know if he could take him down at will. I think Daniel kind of could. So it just made it for a bad matchup. But, I mean, Derek's top five heavyweight in the world right now. And one guy just got out of the way. I pray that Derek, they don't match Derek up with Curtis Blaydes, who is a he's the kind of guy who will look to take Derek down and just lay on top of him and not do any kind of damage, just grind out 15 minutes, which would be the worst thing. But I think there's just about anybody else in that division Derek can go toe-to-toe with, you know, including Francis Ngannou, who's ranked number two, who Derek already holds a win over. Jarzinho Rosenstruck, who beat Junior Dos Santos the other night. I think that'd be a good matchup for Derek. I mean, two guys who swing heavy, heavy stuff. So, yeah, he's certainly in that mix.
Texter asking, were you guys able to find the Danish schnapps? I'll bring it to the station if I have to.
I didn't get a chance to get to Specs on Saturday. My plan was to go tomorrow or Wednesday and get it.
Okay. Well, if you don't, someone's offering to bring it.
I found that the one in Pearland is supposed to have plenty.
Oh, okay.
So I just have to go through Pearland and probably pick up barbecue on my way in. Damn, that sucks.
Pearland's dangerous. On my way in. That's a really dangerous place. 713.
Streets are tough there.
780-ESPN. So some other sport. We talked about the playoffs starting in the NBA. I love this whole bubble thing. That's my column for Thursday. Between the NHL when they're having four games in a day and the NBA and having four games in a day and nobody's getting sick and the games are better for the most part than I thought they would be. Now, we'll see how some of these first-round basketball matchups go because I was listening to Josh talk about how mismatched they are.
Most of them seem to be.
Yeah, on the surface, they sure are. So we'll see how that looks. But for all those people who said, oh, there's one person tests positive, you have to stop and all this. The NBA's done it right. The NHL's done it right. I'll even submit that baseball's done a pretty good job because for the number of players that they have and the fact that they're traveling around to only have a couple of outbreaks, it's pretty good. So for those of you who don't want I don't understand the people who work in the sports business who don't want sports. It's driving me nuts, and there's a bunch of them. And one of them, I meant to get to this Friday, but we were all too drunk. Actually, I wasn't really drunk Friday, but we were drinking. Christine Brennan of USA Today, who is, I think, awful. I mean, just really awful. Everything's about women's rights, and, you know, that's fine and all, but she basically comes out and says that prestigious academic schools like Duke and Notre Dame need to come out against playing. And
so smart kids need to avoid COVID. Dummies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, they can play.
So, says Duke would seem to be the type of school that would care about science and knowledge. And if that isn't enough, there's always peer pressure from your academic equals, or perhaps just trying to maintain the appearance of being the smartest people in the room. Really? I mean, that's it? Oh, you're a smart school, so you shouldn't play? Christine, you're not smart, okay? And quit rooting against sports. I bet if this were the U.S. women's soccer team, you'd be like, oh, they should play, they should play. Hey, man, fuck that. But why is it that there's people in the business rooting against there being sports? I don't get it. I'm all for sports. And for everybody who said, oh, you shouldn't play at all, you shouldn't play at all, have you paid any attention? It's working.
It's doing okay.
It is working, and it's exciting. I kind of wish they'd do that 8-9 thing in the NBA every year. That was fun.
I did like that.
And I actually... Well, I always bitch about too many teams in the playoffs. I actually like the way they did the NHL thing with the 24 teams with a 5-game play-in. I thought that was fun. Aaron's Blackhawks would be dead if not for that. And now here they are, only down 3-1.
Adam Silver said over the weekend they might do that 8-9 play-in thing going forward. I mean, they're going to make more money off of it.
Yeah.
Well, I like it. And I've always been kind of against, oh, don't add more teams, don't add more teams. And maybe it's just the desperation of not having anything for so long that I loved it, man. I really thought it was – I thought the NHL did a great job. I thought the NBA did a great job. And I think everybody, as much as people bitched at Dana White, maybe give Dana a little credit because he showed them how it could be done.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's another guy that a lot of people were tearing into. And I think the UFC's done a great job with this. So – for all you people who don't want any sports, first off, shame on you. Why are you listening to the show? And second off, you were wrong.
Yeah.
Suck it. All right. Tell you one thing that you can't go wrong with new brakes. Guys, this company is fantastic. And if you are hearing some grinding in your brakes or some squeaking, well, instead of going to the auto repair shop and having to sit there and wait all day while you got stuff to do, call New Brakes. They're going to come to you. And how about this? They're convenient, 20 to 50% more affordable than shops and dealers on average. And they're backed by a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. And they'll come to you. If you're working at your office right now, they'll come do it there. Or they'll come to your house. And it's easy. And they're quality people, and they do great work, and they give you a surprise free repair quote. So they're going to give you a worst-case scenario, so it's not going to be any more than that. And, man, they just do quality work. So if you've got that squeaking and grinding, man, go to the website, nubrakes.com, N-U-B-R-A-K-E-S.com. Mention ESPN. You're going to get 10% off your service. And don't go sit in the auto shop right now when you don't need to. Get those brakes fixed today, nubrakes.com. Mention ESPN, 10% off. Hit it, split it, hit it, split it, drill it, come on, miss it.
Hit it, split it, hit it, split it, split it, is you with it? At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have three-layer nano-silver protection. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPNHouston for 20% off. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in. And the Twitchers brought up something that I wanted to ask A.J. about. Because you posed a question to the public today. About your beer habits on Twitter. I saw it.
Yeah. My wife is... this is the problem, and I understand my wife's point of view on this. She often says, you have too much beer, you need to stop buying beer. And I'll say, okay. And then I'll do it for a while, and I'll clear out some space in my fridge. I'll drink, you know, I'll drink it down. And then some event will happen.
Right.
And my beer fridge will be completely restocked. And this time it happened because... So I've been making purchases via the internet. And I know that this can happen because it happens to my wife. Sometimes she makes so many orders that...
You forget some.
Boxes will show up at our house. The Amazon man's dropping off a bunch of boxes. She's like, oh, I totally forgot I ordered this. I've been purchasing beer... And having proxies go pick it up for me in Austin and San Antonio. And I picked up all that beer this weekend. And now we've got a bit of an overflow situation again. And
I see you were taking up part of her wine space.
That's the biggest problem. She doesn't mind the fridge. She doesn't. And I converted the spare room's closet. It's all shelves. So there's no... You can't hang clothes in that closet. It's all shelves and it's all got beer and liquor in it. But the wine cabinet that's really made to hold, I mean, it's got like space to hold, I'd say 32 bottles of wine. It can hold about, well, right now it's holding probably about 6 or 7 of her bottles of wine.
I see.
And the rest is like mead and mezcal, because mezcal comes in those long, skinny bottles that are too tall to put on a shelf. So it really put me out there, and I got to make some changes when I get to the house.
First off, who needs 32 bottles of wine? I think you should be able
to
use.
Do you really think I'm in a place to say that?
No, I don't.
You know,
I don't.
Yeah.
But
me saying who needs that much wine would not go over well right now.
Well, I have been limited to, I have a shelf. It's a pretty big closet, but I have one shelf for all my alcohol. And I've got about probably 35 bottles in there. But then I also have like a whole row in the garage of stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't have as much as you do, but you know, it's every now and then I get the, you need to get rid of some of this beer.
Yeah.
So, D says there's plenty of storage for beer at the Williams house. Yeah, but right now when I was on lockdown, I did a lot of damage. I mean, I made some real progress, but I've also reloaded a little bit lately.
So. One more UFC note that we didn't get to in the first segment. About right around the time the show started, John Jones tweeted, "Just got off the phone with UFC. Today I confirmed that I'm vacating the light heavyweight championship. It's officially up for grabs. It's been an amazing journey. Sincere thank you to all my competition, the UFC, and most importantly, you fans. The last I spoke with the UFC about my salary, there was no negotiating. If that ever changes, I'd love to come back and compete again as a heavyweight. Until then, I'll be enjoying the UFC as a fan and doing my best to take care of my family and community. In good faith, I will be staying in the testing pool for probably the next half year or so. I'll continue to lift weights and train all the different martial arts." When he says the testing pool, that means the USADA testing pool. Because if you opt out of that pool and then you try to come back, it's a pain in the ass to come back and fight if you're not being tested regularly. So John Jones says he's retiring. So
do you believe him?
I don't know. I think it's probably a negotiating ploy.
Sounds like it.
But it's hard for me to say that he doesn't deserve more money because he's the best fighter in the world. It's not as much of a what he deserves as just fighters need to make more money. Fighters right. need a bigger piece of the pie that the UFC has. I do agree that, you know, you shouldn't make money based on how great you are as a fighter. It should be on what you draw as
right.
like what you bring in. That's why John Jones is three times the fighter Conor McGregor is, but Conor McGregor makes more money.
Right.
I do think that's the way it should be, because in a pay-per-view system, the guys who force the most people to buy pay-per-views, that's the guys who are worth the most. But the UFC, the fighters deserve to make more money, so I can't say that I blame him.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. 281 says, "Hey, Fred, I'm thinking about moving to the Houston house. Can you tell me the pros and cons?" Honestly, they were redoing the whole place when we left, so yeah, I don't know if they got it fixed up or not, but I enjoyed my time there. It was convenient, and it was fun, and pain in the ass with the elevators, but they were replacing them all. So you're right in the middle of everything, close to the train line, and it's pretty affordable for that location. Just you will get inundated by homeless when you go to the train tracks, but that's pretty much everywhere these days. Did you see your Astros managed to get right? All I need is a Mariner.
Yeah. Yeah, they are starting to click a little bit, and your second place Astros?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
I mean, that's something, right?
Back over 500 Astros?
Yeah, that's a positive. 11-10. Suck on that, haters. If the playoffs started today, guess who'd be going? The Astros.
All it takes is one game over 500.
One game over 500 gets you in the playoffs.
Yep.
But yeah, a little winning streak there. And I mean, I don't think the Astros beating up on these bad teams, I don't think any of us doubt that they'll continue to do that.
And they're playing a lot of bad teams.
Their schedule is made up mostly of bad teams, with the exception of the A's and the Dodgers.
The Rockies.
Well, the Rockies look good so far.
Yeah.
I mean, but if we came into the season, we would have said the Rockies are one of those great, they're good teams that they're going to have to deal with.
No, probably not.
But the Rockies, that's what makes this series that's coming up pretty interesting, because the Rockies are playing good ball. So it'd be nice for them to get some wins over teams that are ahead of them in the standings. Not that they're in the same league, obviously, but because so far the Astros' wins have mostly come against the Mariners and the Giants and, you know, the bummy teams,
right?
And it'd be good to see them beat somebody who looks like they've got something going, and the Rockies look like they've got something going.
Well, two thoughts. Ted Williams with a walk-off.
Yes.
still batting under 200.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's Ted Williams.
And it was so funny because Astros Twitter was like, I told all you guys he could play. It's like, all right, man, I want to get that average over 200. That one walk-off ain't going to do it. And your buddy Jose Altuve has to be placed down the lineup. I don't know how I feel about that. That's not a good look. Not going to get your confidence back. For sure.
That doesn't seem like the move. And honestly, from a competitive standpoint, it just seems hard for me to feel good about a dude going in and asking that. Like, you should want to. I want more at bats if I'm struggling. I want to figure this thing out.
Yeah, put me first.
Yeah.
I think he's the one that the whole scandal has affected the most, and I think mentally he's just a mess right now. He doesn't even look like the same player. He didn't even look like Abraham Toro looks better than he does right now, which is scary. I'm sure he'll turn it around. I mean, everybody has these runs, and the fact that he has that he's having it at the beginning of the season is a bad look.
Well, there's a lot of really good players in baseball this year who are not playing well.
That's true.
Cody Bellinger's struggling. Christian Yelich struggling.
Yeah. I saw Barry actually respond to somebody with a tweet that had all the batting averages for all the great players who are sucking right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys who are having a hard time. So it's obviously not the situation. It's not the ideal time for him to be struggling like this,
right,
especially if you don't want to be taking any grief. But that was part of the deal. They knew they were going to take grief. And if this surprises them, then that's really on them.
Well, as long as he's not on Twitter, he has no idea that he's taking grief.
I'll also say that, I mean, if I told you that, we're a third of the way through the season. If I told you a third of the way through the season, the Astros would have zero guys hitting 300, would you have said,
maybe get the buzzer back. Get the buzzer in the trash cans.
Because, right, I mean, Correa, who's been really solid this season, he's been consistent. You feel good about what you've seen from him. He's really been the only one that I'm like, oh, yeah, this guy is he's everything I expected him to be. Your next best hitter as far as batting average after Correa is Michael Brantley. Guess where he's at now? IL.
Uh-huh.
And Bregman's turned it around. He's in the high 260s now.
He usually starts slow, so I'm not too worried about him.
The Springer and Altuve both hitting below 200. Tucker hitting below 200 when they were counting on him as sort of a breakout guy. As much as I hate to say it, my boy Miles Straw.
Yeah, he's done. He's been
way out of a paper bag.
He's been a disappointment. I really thought he would be. I thought he'd be a very useful guy for them this year, and it just hasn't happened. But again, I think the long layoff, in a short season, all of this is heightened, right?
I mean, because it is.
Because if you look up at the end of the year and Altuve's hitting 310 because he goes on an absolute tear, you kind of forget about this because that does happen during a 162 game season. You know what's been impressive is. Yeah, if you told me that they were going to get the kind of pitching out of guys like Belak and Framber that they've been getting, and Christian Javier,
the question becomes: is that sustainable?
I don't think so by any stretch, but I could be wrong. And
but you also like to assume that Jose Altuve hitting 190 is
right.
Sustainable,
and Lance McCullers with a 5.47 ERA, and he's had the one really awful game, but I expect him to keep pitching well, so that ought to mitigate it somewhat. But that's the thing. You look at that, you're getting getting better pitching than you probably would have expected without Justin Verlander. And it's the hitting letting you down.
Yeah. Although
team-wise,
their team average is up, but the guys that you expect to be carrying the load aren't carrying the load.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about BPH, enlarged prostate. If you or someone you know has a frequent need to urinate, increased urination at night, difficulty starting to pee, anybody you know like that? Well, if so, you don't need surgery. The surgery, I'm telling you now, it's awful. It's a drill inside your pee hole, and it's the worst thing in the whole world. It sounds like, anyway. What you do need to do is just call Dr. Andrew Doe at Elite Health, because Dr. Andrew Doe, he agrees that's a horrible, horrible way to treat BPH. He's the first doctor in Houston to do a procedure called PAE. It's an advanced, minimally invasive procedure that uses X-ray technology to treat your prostate and get you back on track without surgery. You're in and out in a few hours, done right there in the office at Elite Health. Nobody in Houston has done as many of these procedures as Dr. Doe. He's the guy you want. And PAE, also covered by most insurance plans. Learn more today. Call 832-850-4618. That's 832-850-4618. Check them out online. ChoosePAE.com.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I haven't watched Yellowstone from last night yet, but I see it's trending. So I probably need to avoid it.
Pretty good.
Was it? Was it?
Pretty good. There's only one episode left.
Yeah, I was going to watch it, and then I kind of got into one of the hockey games, and the wife went to bed early, so that's one we like to watch together. So I'll probably watch it tonight. And then did you see why Rush Limbaugh is trending today?
I did not.
He apparently is. He was talking about Kamala Harris and referred to her as a hoe and a mattress.
A mattress?
Yeah. Don't ask me. Of course, liberal Twitter is just losing its mind over this. How dare you call her a hoe?
Interesting.
And somehow this is President Trump's fault.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure about that one. but I do think that's a really odd a hoe. And I've heard her called a hoe. Like someone, I mean, Joel was talking about the guy, I forgot his name, the guy that was like a photographer for the Rockets and the Astros. Guy who's been around for a long time, posted some like a picture of a button, like a political button that says Joe and the hoe. And I think he's been since relieved of his duties.
Well, if that's your job, you can't do stuff like that. If you're Rush Limbaugh, it's kind of part of your act, isn't it?
Well, is it? Can you? I mean, Don Imus got fired for saying nappy-headed hoes.
Yeah, I think when you throw the nappy
with the nappy-headed, is that what was offensive? Not the hoe.
Well, I think that was more. I think it was both. It was a combination of the three. Look, I think it's inappropriate and stupid, but I mean, it's Rush Limbaugh. That's his act.
All right,
it's what's made him so successful.
Well. I'm just going to I don't know what's going to happen to any of those guys for stuff like that, but it just maybe just seem and the mattress, I don't even understand the dig. I'd have to hear it in context, I guess, to really kind of get it. But that's an odd thing to say too. But I guess, you know, we'll see. We'll see if anything comes from it. You're right. It probably won't, but I mean, the worst that happens for Rush is he loses an advertiser or two, and he'll probably be okay.
Which I'm guessing he won't, because they know
most
what
people
act.
Who advertise him, hey, they
when
know,
he first started, he used to do those Mike Tyson impressions that were about as racist as it gets. So I mean, this isn't even the worst thing he's ever said. But and somebody says he got the Presidential Medal of Freedom, so yeah, Trump can catch some flack for this. No, he doesn't. And you can give him grief for doing that at the time because people thought, okay, Rush Limbaugh, really? But it's not like he had anything to do with him saying this. So attack the right person. That's all we ask.
Yeah. A couple people thanked me for my UFC card this weekend on pregame, and I thank you for purchasing that card. Plus, $1,304 on my
nice.
That was the payout on my card this weekend. So when it's one of those things, usually when you win you don't hear much, and when you lose you hear plenty. I'm plus 42 units, I think, for the like year to date on UFC. So I've heard mostly I haven't heard many negative things, but when you have a big hit like that, you get a lot of nice things said your way. Yeah. So I appreciate all of you for saying those nice things.
That's good.
7-1 that's... on my card, and the one I split the bet two ways. It was either this chick, it was a lady fight. Either this gal was going to win, and she paid out plus 260.
Nice.
Or the other gal was going to win by submission, and that paid plus 220. And the one girl won by submission, so it ends up being a win either way. So the fight itself was actually a profitable fight. So on per fight, I didn't have a losing fight, so that was nice. But yeah, appreciate the love from you guys. What's Tony got to say about the fights? Hello, Tony.
Sports guys, I just wanted to ask if you thought perhaps, or maybe there's a possibility that Dana intentionally did not agree to give Jones a pay increase so that he would kind of subliminally force him to move up to heavyweight so maybe they could carry on some contract negotiations there. And what do you think about the possible bangers of Jones, between Jones and Ngannou and Jones and Stipe? And I'll hang up and listen.
I think part of the one, you know, kind of what the one time I'd say you're wrong on that is that, like, Jones wanted to go up and fight at heavyweight. Like that was what, when the negotiation started, was he wanted to go up and fight Ngannou. And when they started talking money, Dana was like, no, we're not giving you more money to go fight heavyweight. So if anything, it's a ploy by Jones to get more money, and it's not really like a sneaky ploy. It was basically, he was like, if you want me to do this, and let's face it, Jones has basically cleared out the light heavyweight division. There's not much more for him to prove there. If you want to see him fight these bigger, stronger guys, it was going to cost him, and Dana decided it wasn't worth it. So, I don't know. I think Jones would hold him. He'd hold his own just fine. You know, he's able to beat Daniel Cormier, and Daniel Cormier is what, the second best heavyweight in the world, it looks like. So I think he'd hold up just fine.
Yeah, I just have a feeling that this is just a negotiating thing, just how it feels, but I have nothing to back that up.
So. You have no direct contact with?
No, I've been social distanced from John Jones and Dana for a long time.
Okay.
But it's just what it feels like, right? Especially when he says, I'm going to stay in the doping thing and everything else. But I'd like to see him fight some of those guys. I think he's a draw. And, you know, I always love watching his fights.
Yeah.
So, Brother Bear, over under 3 energy drinks after doing it all day, or
zero energy drinks today.
Wow.
Well,
I'm
had coffee this morning. I had an iced tea with lunch. I had a Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich for lunch.
Nice.
And I got spicy chicken sandwich sauce on my shirt. So I'm wearing a promotional t-shirt from our radio station. Yeah, but no energy drinks today.
See, I had an energy drink this morning, cup of coffee this morning, and then an energy drink right before the show. But I haven't. The only thing I had to eat was I went by and got some Brothers Breakfast Tacos this morning. But I haven't eaten anything since. So I need to get serious about losing weight again.
I do too, but I've decided, and I told my wife this, I'm not even going to try dieting until after my birthday. Plus,
probably
now,
smart.
Plus now I've got to get rid of some of the beer in my house.
Exactly. So, and you can't diet doing that.
Right. How am I supposed to drink this beer?
Oh, but guys, if you're pulling your hair out during this breakdown, how about you put it back? Go see Dr. Linville. And that's what I did about a year ago. And man, what a difference it makes. And it's such a cool procedure. It's your own hair. Dr. Linville extracts individual follicles from the back of your head, transplants them to where you're thinning. And the cool thing about it is these aren't hair plugs. This isn't some goofy wig. This is your own hair. he's just moving it from where it is to where it isn't. And, man, it makes such a difference. And it's been really cool to have the lockdown hair and have bad hair days again. And guess what? He wants to help people like you, like me, like himself. He had it done. His hair looks fantastic. Go and get your consultation at 975hair.com. You can do it virtually. And if you're still stuck at home, this is a good time to go get it done, because when you go back to work, nobody will notice until it's grown out, and they won't even know you had it done. And a lot of people like to do it that way. 975hair.com. Go see my man, Dr. Linville. He will take care of you. 975hair.com. Hey, I don't need no molly to be savage. Hey, but when I'm on the molly, I feel savage. Hey, my girl, the definition of a bad bitch. Stole a heart. I'm the
Hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.